Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
You know, the music plays and you think about doing the open, and you know, it's not like I haven't done it over and over, and sometimes you just forget what day it is. But this is the Thursday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need? Swing on by sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up over there on Wednesdays and Saturdays. So if you didn't get over there yesterday to check out the blog, swing on by there today. It'll be hanging out there for you till the new one pops up on Saturday so you can catch up, see what's going on. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, don't forget to hit that link. That'll take you over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. And you know the deal. You went all the way over there. You might as well go ahead and like that page. Don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. And now you can also find me on Twitter as well. I am at Burketime. That's Burketime if you're looking for me there. You know, and where we're going to start off, since we're waiting for Dan to join us with the sport that he's not thrilled with anyways, and that'll be the NFL. And finally, the Philadelphia Eagles have traded Carson Wentz. Now, there were a few teams in the mix, but it was pretty clear that the front runner was the Indianapolis Colts. And sure enough, that's where Wentz ends up going. In return, the Eagles get the Colts' third-round pick in this upcoming draft. That will be the 85th pick. They also get a conditional 2022 second-round pick that will be upgraded to a first-round pick if Wentz plays 75% of the Colts' offensive snaps next year. Now, as long as he stays healthy, that shouldn't be a problem. So we will, you know, we will see how that goes. But yes, Wentz is finally dealt. You know, there was, you know, there was quite a bit of talk about the Chicago Bears being a suitor, but reports are that they didn't even end up making an offer, according to a source from the Philadelphia Eagles. So it was really just kind of the Colts, and it's, you know, the Colts were smart to wait this out because, remember, originally the Eagles were looking for the kind of return that the Lions got for Matthew Stafford, which just wasn't really going to happen. So, you know, they did the right thing. You know, my guess is it's going to end up, they're going to get Wentz for a third and a first. So that, you know, and if he can come back to form, remember he had his best season when Frank Reich was the offensive coordinator for the Eagles. So, you know, it's possible that he could rebound, and there are a lot of people out there that think he will rebound. You know, he's going to a team that has better protection. You know, he was sacked 50 times last season, and I believe that was a league high. So, you know, that makes it tough to, you know, get yourself under center. And the weird thing is he got sacked 50 times in just 12 games. So imagine if he would have played the, you know, the full 16 games, what that sack total would have been. You know, the Eagles had some injuries up front on that offensive line, and it, you know, it definitely showed in, you know, Wentz's sack totals. You know, Jalen Hurts was a little more mobile, so he had a little more success there. You know, and obviously the sacks may account for the fact that Wentz also threw a career-high 15 picks. You know, you've got to wonder if he was rushing the ball or how things were going for them. So, you know, it's probably the best move here for the Eagles to get rid of him, even though they do take a pretty big cap hit, almost $34 million. So, you know, we'll see how things work out there. And, you know, that's one more peg in the what is basically turning out to be the NFL quarterback carousel gone. You know, we've seen Matthew Stafford moved. We've seen Carson Wentz moved now. So you've got to kind of wonder who's next and who's going where as teams are, you know, still looking for quarterbacks. You know, I mentioned the Bears earlier. There's still a lot of questions what the New Orleans Saints are going to do at quarterback. They do have Taysom Hill under contract. But, you know, there's a lot of talk that they would like to bring back Jameis Winston. So we'll see if they can you know, if they can work that out, or, you know, Winston may be able to go someplace now where he's going to be the starter. So, you know, there's been some other rumors that, you know, Carolina may be looking, you know, the Broncos kept popping up in rumors. So have the Raiders, even though both the Broncos and the Raiders, you know, appear to have quarterbacks. I mean, you know, David Carr is a pretty good quarterback. But it seems like every year the Raiders are willing to ship him off someplace else. And, you know, the Broncos, it looked like the Broncos finally settled on Drew Locke. But, you know, again, this is the NFL. You never know. You know, the Patriots have an opening. You know, Cam Newton is a free agent. We don't really know if they've settled on Jared Stidham or if they'll go another way. You know, the 49ers situation is still up in the air because all reports seem they want to move on from Jimmy Garoppolo. So, you know, the Redskins are still in the market. You know, they possibly could bring back Alex Smith, who played really well and had a winning record for them. But, you know, that doesn't mean they're going to be able to bring him back. Maybe another team beats them to the punch there. You know, you can't really add the Jacksonville Jaguars in because they have the number one pick, and it looks like they're going to go Trevor Lawrence. So that kind of slots them out of the quarterback market. I haven't heard much the last couple of days about the Russell Wilson rumors, but obviously the Seahawks would be stupid to deal him. You know, you're not going to replace a quarterback like that. Just let him cry and get it out of his system. You know, and then try to find him some offensive linemen. And to be fair, they have done that. I believe they've drafted offensive linemen each of the last 4 years. They just haven't hit on any of them. You know, and then you can throw in the Pittsburgh Steelers situation as well. You know, Ben Roethlisberger has a big salary cap hit. All the reports are that they've been willing to, you know, restructure, or Roethlisberger has been, but nothing has came of it yet. So, you know, they're still kind of up in the air. And there was a report today that they may consider doing the rebuild. You know, they have Juju Smith-Schuster as a free agent. So it looks like he'll be walking away. So even if they get Ben back, he'd be losing one of his bigger targets. So there are, you know, there are quite a few quarterback questions, you know, more than there's been in the past few years. So we'll have to see if and how these teams handle it. And then, you know, I didn't even mention the fact that, you know, there's still the Deshaun Watson situation, even though the Texans have held steadfast that they don't want to deal him, you know, and he is under contract. So his options are play or sit out. You know, the Cowboys are still in the Dak Prescott situation where you either franchise tag him or let him become a free agent. So, I mean, that was how many teams and how many questions that just came up. Dan, were you keeping track? So, yeah, I knew what I was talking about there.
It's like half the league, isn't it?
Yeah, just about.
I thought Carson Wentz was coming to Chicago.
Yeah, well, there's a report that the Bears didn't even make an offer. So, I guess not. You know, but, you know, what are the Bears going to do? Doesn't that make Nick Foles their quarterback?
Pretty much. Bring Mitch back.
Yeah, well, you know, actually, I read that there was a report while there was somebody going over all the quarterbacks and the vacancies and what might happen. And apparently, good old Mitch Trubisky has kind of made it known that he does not want to return to Chicago. So he's out looking for other possibilities. Yeah, apparently he didn't like the way he was treated last year. You know, losing his job and then them giving it back to him. So we'll see where that goes or how much, you know, if that has any legs.
Well, I mean, do you blame him?
No.
So, you know, that's not surprising. He doesn't want to come back. You know, like you said, what are they going to do? But the biggest question on my mind, which, you know, I really didn't look into a whole lot, and I'm not just not really a, you know, with the NFL sometimes, but the whole J.J. Watt situation, I just, it's kind of baffling to me the way it played out and the fact that he's leaving that team. Let's be honest, over the years, it's almost become like you think of the Texans, you think of him. So what the hell happened?
You know, it appears as though he just got fed up with the situation, very much like Deshaun Watson. But, you know, luckily for Watt, he was in the final year of his contract, so it doesn't cost the Texans anything to release him. You know, if they were to release Watson or trade Watson, they, like the Eagles just did, would take a giant salary cap hit. And it's just, you know, really difficult for teams to be able to handle that. You know, luckily for the Eagles, they have a quarterback on their roster in Jalen Hurts. The Texans don't have that. So they would actually have a difficult time finding a quarterback if they were to do something like that with Deshaun Watson. You know, Watt, on the other hand, didn't cost them anything. You know, they just release him and the salary comes right off their cap. So it's just open room for them.
Was there much into what set him off? Or
no, you know what's weird? He didn't jump on the negative train like a lot of the players do, and they just trash the organization they want to get out of. He was just very classy, and apparently he met with the owner and the general manager and just said, hey, you know, I would like to move on. I think it's time for me to move on. And they didn't have a problem letting him do it. It didn't cost him, you know, it didn't cost the team anything. So, you know, it was an easier move to make. The difficult part, of course, will be replacing him. But it's really to the point in Watt's career where I don't think he's the 20 sack a year guy anymore. Like, I believe last year he had 5. So, you know, they're, you know, it you know, and again, not, you know, nothing against Watt, of course. You know, as team players get older, their skills diminish. And in the right situation with the right team, he'll be a double-digit sack guy. He just can't be the guy. So, you know, he needs to go somewhere where they won't focus on him. You know, he was always going to be that guy in Houston, and it showed in his numbers last year. So I think the Texans kind of understood that they could move on and you know, probably replace him easier than people think.
Do you see him coming to Chicago?
You know, there was a little bit of hope that he would come here because his wife plays for the Chicago Red Stars, but I don't think so. You know, there was a lot of talk that he would go play with his brother in Pittsburgh, but you got to wonder with their salary cap situation if that will be possible. And there are many teams interested in acquiring his services, so he will not have a lack of suitors when it comes to, when it comes to finding a team. You know, and you have to remember he is from Wisconsin, so you do have to kind of wonder if maybe the Packers would step in and make an offer to try to get him to come there.
And what is this team his wife, girlfriend play for?
It's they're the Chicago Red Stars. They're the female soccer team, Chicago's female soccer team.
Oh. I didn't know.
You didn't know Chicago had a female soccer team?
No.
Oh, okay. Cool. Well, maybe you could go to a game this summer and check them out.
Yeah, if we can get to any game, right?
Yeah. That would be something for you to do. But yeah, you know, like I said, I mean, there's a lot of interest, and you got to think at this point in Watt's career, he's going to want to go to a contender. So, you know, that would be another reason that I think a team like the Bears would automatically be eliminated because, you know, they're not going to, you know, they're sorry, Chicago Bears fans, but you're not contending for anything next year. No matter what you think, unless by, you know, some miracle, all the big time free agents sign here and, You land a quarterback, which of course probably isn't going to happen. So, what is kind of interesting is I am wondering what kind of salary Watt is going to end up getting. You know, because he's coming off of obviously a really big deal, but you know, like I mentioned, his numbers have been down. So, you know, you've got to kind of wonder, you know, where a team views him or what a team kind of sees him as. So, you know, I don't know. It'll be interesting. You know, and he has also had some injuries in his career. You know, he's played, you know, parts of three seasons just because of injuries. So, you know, all that kind of comes into play when you're in the process of trying to bring one of these guys in or sign one of these guys. But I don't know, you know, with these teams, sometimes they get, you know, carried away and they throw big money at a guy thinking that they've got to match some kind of offer and they really didn't. Well, you know, why did you have a spot that you wanted to see him land? You had a team you thought he would be a nice fit for?
No, not at all. Seattle? I don't know. I don't know what. You know, I was going to ask that kind of next. What's Wilson's issue?
He's pouting because he says he gets hit too much.
Oh.
So, you know.
Well, if you want a Tom Brady length career, Can't take so many hits, right?
So, you know, the unfortunate part is he's not wrong. You know, he's been hit more than any other quarterback I think I saw in, like, the last five seasons. But, you know, he made it seem like they were doing nothing to try to address it. And, you know, like I've mentioned, they've drafted linemen each of the last four drafts. And, it, you know, unfortunately, none of them have worked out. And that, you know, that happens with the draft. You know, sometimes you pick guys and it's just bust city. You know, a la Jared Goff and Carson Wentz, who were the 1 and 2 pick in the same damn draft, and now they've both been traded. So, you know, it's just one of those issues. So we'll, you know, and things have quieted down the last few days. He hasn't cried anymore lately. So we'll see if, you know, something comes out or if they find alignment for him. But, you know, you just never know with these guys anymore. You know, remember Aaron Rodgers was upset, but that interview was just after they lost. So, of course, he was upset. But the media played it into this whole thing that he wanted out of Green Bay, even though he never said that. Oh, well, Aaron Rodgers is upset with Green Bay and he wants out. Well, no, he didn't say that. He just was upset because they lost. And a lot of people think that it was a kind of a ploy to get some more money, which it looks like it may have been. So, you know, there's reasons guys do this. And it's possible Wilson is looking for the same thing. You know, he may be looking for a restructuring of his contract to make some more money, you know, or just a new deal in general. So, you know, you never really can tell, unless a guy is on a long-term deal like Watson, what the true meaning of their motives are. You know, and I mean, we know that from, you know, everything, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
I mean, well, getting more money for Rodgers, but, I mean, do you think that's a possibility with Russell? He wants more money and taking more hits costs,
you know,
more.
The other thing that baffled me, and both Wilson and Watson mentioned this, is that they wanted to be involved in personnel decisions. Now, just because you're playing doesn't make you qualified to pick a head coach or pick a general manager or even chime in on who to draft, you know, because obviously your focus should be on playing the game to your best level. So I don't know what they think qualifies them except for the fact that they're players. So, you know, that's always kind of weird to me, because if you think about it, the only thing a quarterback is going to want to draft is offensive linemen and wide receivers. They're not going to care about defensive players. And it was very odd that Wilson's comments came out after Pete Carroll mentioned that the Seahawks need to run the football more, which obviously would devalue Wilson's stats when it comes to a contract negotiation. So a lot of these are coincidental, you know, in my opinion. So.
No such thing as coincidence.
Right. Of course there's not. So, you know, it's just one of those, you know, just one of those situations. You know, we'll see how it goes, and you know what ends up with these remaining guys that are still kind of floating around out there. So, you know, we'll see where it lands. But You know, the other, and this is one of those things, you know, and I really hope that you can explain this to me. I'm not even sure if you saw the story, but former NFL wide receiver Vincent Jackson was unfortunately found dead in his hotel room on Monday night. He was just 38 years old, and you know, he's leaving a wife and four children behind. What kind of baffled me with this, Dan, is now obviously he had some concussion issues from playing in the NFL, because you know, let's face it, pretty much just about every player is going to go through this. But what really baffled me is it was reported that he was also battling alcoholism. Now, Dan, I've heard some reporters throughout the different networks that have been blaming the NFL for his alcoholism. Is that even a possibility? I didn't know that being a player made you drink, or not, or retiring makes you drink, or because I mean, I got to tell you, Dan, this sounded kind of, for lack of a better word, crappy that they would try to lay this on the league that it was their fault that this guy started drinking.
I don't know that the intent was to just put the full blame on the league, so to speak. But, you know, and I think what people kind of forget, too, and then when they refer to the league, you know, it's the players' union, the whole nine. And, you know, maybe there was a disappointment that, you know, whatever is supposed to happen for players after the, you know, their term of service, so to speak, is over with, you know, what kind of additional resources do they have after that? And, you know, I mean, a person can have an issue with alcohol, and a person can have an issue with gambling. And while it could be an issue where that's what he died from, you know, some people are good at keeping that, you know, behind closed doors. So, you know, if the NFL didn't have the adequate knowledge, how can they help, you know?
Yeah, and, you know, that was my big thing with it, is I just hated the idea that they made it seem like it was the NFL's fault. And, you know, now Jackson was one of these guys, he walked away from the game. You know, he decided to retire. It wasn't the fact that teams weren't interested in him. He just decided he had had enough. I believe he played 8 years. You know, and I, you know, like a lot of players, he was a quality wide receiver. He made very good money. He made millions of dollars. So hopefully, you know, there's enough for his wife and children to, you know, live out their lives as well. But, you know, that, you know, and I mean, you know, obviously it's sad. 38 is way too young to frickin' die. But it just, you know, the way they were reporting it bothered me. So, I don't know, maybe that was just me, because I hate when they do that. And, again, it just seemed like it was another one of these tactics where they wanted to lay this on the NFL because they're number one and they want to make sure they try to take them down.
Yeah, I always feel like that has some portion of a motive behind things.
You know, I'm the reporter.
We gotta show the
world down. Look at me. I'm the reporter that wiped out the NFL. Me here, right here. Yeah,
yeah.
Shut up, moron.
Well, you know, the hardest part too is these players all know what they're getting into, and you know how it plays out. So it's, you know, it's the game, the players. It's a combination. So, you know, you wouldn't have one without the other, vice versa. And while you can't really put a blame on why he died, you know, concussion issues, you know, headaches, make him drink, you know, but we don't know. We don't know the full extent.
Yeah, you know, definitely. But I don't want to get too hung up on that because A, I don't like talking about death, and B, it's just very sad. So I want to move on to what was the gigantic news last night, Dan, and I tweeted you about it as soon as I heard it. 14 years, $340 million for Fernando Tatis Jr. So he will now be in San Diego until he is 36, or excuse me, 35 years old, and he'll be there till the year 2034, barring a trade. The average annual base of the salary is $24.285714 million. And it also comes with a $10 million signing bonus. Dan, I should have tried harder to be a baseball player. What about you?
Ah, you're telling me, but Big Jack, I think you're failing to remember one thing. These contracts would have never came to us because we were born before the year 2000. there's that part of it. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, it just makes you why did I just stop? But, that's great for him. But I think in my tweet, and I don't know what your thoughts were on it, my response, of course, I'd like to inflate the numbers more, but let's be realistic with the way baseball is. You know, with that and with the infield they have going, all this money they've spent and the terms that all these guys are going to be there. I mean, is it the best decision? We won't know, until 10 years go by. But I kind of want, I guess my expectation as a Padres fan would be 3 World Series, going to the NLCS at least a minimum of 6 times, maybe even more. But I would say 5 or 6 NL championships, too. I don't know if those numbers are, if that's too high of an expectation, but I don't know. Everything that surrounds the dealings like this, that's kind of what I'm expecting. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that? Is that too much? Am I putting too much out there?
Yeah, well, the tough part with your expectations is obviously he needs help around him. While it's a great deal for him, he's going to need the Manny Machado, the Eric Hosmer, Blake Snell, Yu Darvish, Joe Musgrove, Mike Clevenger when he returns next season. He's going to need the help from these guys to, be able to be successful. So it's always difficult to gauge team success with, the individual contract. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely one of those things where you have to start looking at the Padres for this to sign this kind of deal, and this is their second one, because Machado is signed till, I believe it's 2028. So, they need to be a serious World Series contender. And that's kind of the big question now is, are they? Do they have enough? Did they add enough? I would like to say yes, but again, we don't know, and B, they're in the same division as the Dodgers. So, is it going to be one of these things where they're a wild card team every year and they can't get past the Dodgers and they lose in the NLCS every year? So, that's what's going to make or break this contract. You know, obviously the biggest thing that would help this team is if they could get your guy Will Myers to produce, you know, because he sets some up and down years. So if he could kind of get rolling, you know, that would be probably the best thing for this team. And I hate the fact that I keep seeing depth charts with Austin Nola rated higher, you know, as the starting catcher over Victor Caratini, because Caratini is a much better player than Nola is. So hopefully the Padres are smart enough to make Caratini the everyday catcher. But, yeah, you know, it's going to be, you know, I mean, I don't know if you like pressure or if you wanted the pressure, but it's going to be on him. You know, he's going to be under a microscope. He's only 22. So we're, you know, it's going to be there, and we're going to be looking at him all the time now. Well, actually, the media is, you and I won't, because we're not like that. But they'll be scrutinizing everything he does.
Or glorifying everything he does.
Yeah, what do they do? You know, but to be fair, in most cases, they like to scrutinize. You know, the only guy they glorify is LeBron James. So.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, and I mean, obviously, if you're a Padre fan, it's great, you know, because now you have that side of your infield locked up for, you know, minimum the next 7 years. So. So, yeah, we'll, you know, we'll see how it works out. But obviously for, you know, Tatis and his family, it's a fantastic thing. And, you know, it's the third biggest contract in MLB history. He only trailed, you know, Mookie Betts and Mike Trout.
Well, hopefully he's worth it.
Cool. You know, we'll see. And then, you know, like I – you know, like I mentioned the other day, as things move along, we're going to get signings. Believe it or not, Dan, I guess the A's decided they needed a little more help. They inked two veterans. They added Mitch Moreland, and then they also added reliever Trevor Rosenthal. So a couple solid moves there for the A's. Again, I guess they were looking at their team going, good Lord, what the hell did we do to this team? We need some help. I am really still wondering if they're going to open the season with Tony Kemp as their starting second baseman, but maybe that worked out for them. I don't know, but do you like either of those veteran signings, one more than the other, or what do you think there?
Decent signings. I mean, but, you know, you mentioned it's the A's, and they do, I don't want to say they do crazy things, but you know, things just seem to work out pretty well. You know, you may not have superstar performances or anything, but I think it's still going to work out really well for them.
Yeah, they have a knack of being able to find those guys. And, you know, obviously I think the signing of Moreland was because they realized they dealt Chris Davis and they needed some extra power in the lineup. The Rosenthal signing could be really good. You know, I mentioned to you yesterday that a lot of people were questioning who was going to close. You know, I just naturally figured it would be Jake Diekman, but now they can actually close with either the lefty Diekman or the righty Rosenthal, depending on the situation. They're backed up by your guy Sergio Romo and Ismael Petit. You know, I think they went from having a bullpen that you may have had to be concerned about to a pretty good back end of the bullpen, don't you?
Yeah, and, you know, I'll probably get to see this bullpen if we get to go to some games. I always end up somehow going to a White Sox A's game.
Oh, I thought you were going to Oakland.
Going where?
I thought you were going to Oakland. You were going to go to the Coliseum.
Oh, I wish.
You know, and then, it also, Dan, it didn't take us very long to get our first what, depending on who you listen to, could be a serious injury. JT Realmuto, who just inked a free deal, they're reporting it as he recently sustained a small fracture to his right thumb. They said the injury occurred 6 days ago. The thumb will be immobilized for 2 weeks, and then it will be 2 more weeks before he can be back. But we're looking at Realmuto not returning till the middle of next month, maybe probably closer to the end. You know, if everything stays on the timeline, he should still be ready for opening day. But, you know, sometimes these injuries linger, Dan, and it can affect hitting. So what I want to spin it here, Dan, is obviously Realmuto is the best catcher in the game. He's going to be, or he should be, the number one catcher picked in fantasy when it comes time to get there. Now, since this injury is early, do you downgrade him a little? You know, and I know you're going to pick Buster Posey anyways because he's back, but do you downgrade Realmuto a little bit? Are you a little wary that this could linger, or are you kind of like, oh, there's plenty of time and he's going to get better?
I think there's plenty of time. The one thing I just didn't even bother to look into when I, you know, I read about it, what hand is it? Is it his throwing hand or his catching hand?
Yeah, it's his right hand, so it's his throwing hand.
Oh. You never know. I mean, you definitely need that strength, you know, holding the top of the bat. But I think for me, you know, of course you want to worry about the, you know, his batting performance. So, you know, maybe he'll stay out an extra week longer than maybe he needs to. But I would think, and now I don't know if this is the plan, if he's completely off, you know, doing any baseball activities or anything, but I would still want to keep him in the mix and working with the pitchers. You know, I guess you're going fantasy-wise, so I went a little bit, you know, Major League Baseball-wise, why I'd want to keep him out there. But you're right. It's one of those where I think it could downgrade him in fantasy, but at the same time, you know, do you want to be the guy that misses out on him? You know, we've had players start the season off, you know, hurt, and, you know, they may not have picked up right away, but it helps you out towards the end. So when you're thinking fantasy baseball, you definitely got to think long term, right?
Oh, yeah.
Not just the immediate. So, but I mean, I've seen it's happened to me too many times where everything's going great in the open, and, you know, one small injury happens towards the end of the season, and it just so happens, you know, it's two guys at the same time that are big hitters. So I don't think it downgrades them a whole lot. I mean, don't get me wrong, you still have 30 catchers, but at the same portion, you know, I think 10 of them are people that 10 catchers in baseball will be targets for fantasy. So,
And I do want to give credit. I'm disappointed I don't remember his name, but I saw the funniest conspiracy theory on this, Dan. Someone was saying that the Phillies were misreporting the injury and that Realmuto actually hurt the thumb during a thumb war. So I thought that was pretty humorous. So I got a kick out of that person credit.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I apologize for that one.
Yeah, like, you know, it's good when we can have fun instead of just being serious.
And another player, you know, another big-time fantasy player, Dan, who's going to be pushed back a little bit, American League Cy Young Award winner Shane Bieber tested positive for COVID-19. So obviously he is going to be on the shelf for multiple weeks here. You know, again, it's really early, and as long as he, the positive is he can still continue to work out. He just can't be with the team. So it shouldn't hurt him too much. He's just, you know, not going to be able to have any interaction with his teammates or anybody else for that matter. So, but always that opportunity. And luckily the report says that his symptoms are very, very mild. So hopefully that's a good thing for him.
can't wait till it's over.
You know, something else you'll have to monitor, and hopefully he'll, you know, his will clear up in a couple of weeks, like I know a lot of people do. So we'll have to, kind of see. Dan, you know, I float around the interweb getting ready for the podcast. I like to find these, you know, kind of funky articles. And I found the one today that is the 6 most unpredictable teams for 2021. Now, they don't break down the term of what they mean by unpredictable. So it's however you define it, Dan. I want to throw this team at you and let me get your very early, by the way, opinion, you know, kind of how their offseason went and how do you think they're going to do when the good old 162-game season rolls around. And it looks like they broke it down by division. We'll start in the ALE. Dan, this guy's unpredictable team is the Toronto Blue Jays. What's your opinion of the Blue Jays?
I wouldn't really call them, well, I guess you could, unpredictable, because you really don't know what you're going to get out of this rookie team. So I think I kind of get where he's going with this. And it's not so much, this team's going to break out. So I do think they're unpredictable. When you think about the other teams in that division, I don't know why I'm forgetting one of them. Red Sox,
Yankees,
Rays.
The Orioles.
I know why I'm forgetting the Orioles, because
the Orioles are still in that division, Dan. They haven't been downgraded to AAA yet. So.
Well, I seen them. I don't know if it was a meme or if this was accurate, but someone did some predictions, and the Orioles had a 0% chance of winning. That's always the positive for the Blue Jays is they're definitely going to hit fourth. You got to be bad to get in last in the AL East. But I think between the four teams, they're probably the most unpredictable. You don't really know what we're going to get out of them. You know, we've got a lot of kids with legacy names, so to speak. And, you know, I think we're all waiting for them to kind of bust out and live up to their father's name.
All right, we move to the AL Central, and I thought this was a good one because when it comes to unpredictable, I think the Cleveland Indians fit the bill here, Dan. So how are you buying the Indians right now?
this is a great pick. I think when you think about the White Sox, I think we all are kind of in agreement. They're going upward, so they would be predictable. But with the Indians getting rid of everybody that – seems to be a major player on this team, it did open up spots that guys are able to fill. And, you know, I think we could quite possibly still see a first-place team. But, again, I think we could see a team battling it out with the Royals for the bottom.
Yeah. What about the Tigers? Battling it out with
them? Oh, yeah.
So, is
Mickey's contract
we jump
over
in, with? No, not yet. I think he's still got a year or two left.
I think it's 23. So, yeah.
Is it okay? Yeah. Well, I'll have to bing that while you're talking about the next team. So we wrap up the AL here. We jump in, and I honestly think this guy could have made a better choice here, but he went with the Los Angeles Angels as his unpredictable team. So what are you buying with your guy Joe Maddon and the Angels as being unpredictable?
Not really. I kind of feel like you know what you have over there. The only thing I think would be unpredictable is if they came out of nowhere with 5 pitchers in the rotation that no one knows about and just took the league by storm. So, you know, maybe they're the most unpredictable of that division. But I think at some point you just got to skip it, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, unfortunately, I think he could have, you know, went with the A's or the Mariners, who, you know, are in that rebuild mode. I mean, they could be unpredictable. But I again, it was probably just a reason for him to talk about Mike Trout. So, and Dan, I got to tell you, we were both way off. Miggy is signed through 2025. So.
Wait, there's got to be like two options, right? That's usually how it goes. So.
No, there are no options on his contract. He does have an opt-out after 2023. So,
see,
you know.
See, there you go. There you go. I knew there was an OPT in there somewhere.
Yeah. Well, of course, there's no way in hell he's taking it, but that's okay.
No.
All right, we'll jump over to the National League. We start in the NL East. Now, Dan, I think you could probably pick almost any team in this division, but to stick with what we're doing, this guy went with the Phillies. So what are you buying on the early Phillies?
I don't see them as unpredictable. I think you know what you've got. You're just hoping that everyone can put it together. So for me, I kind of felt like the Mets might be a little bit more unpredictable.
Yeah, I was buying the Mets or the Braves, but I can tell you where this guy goes here, Dan. He gives the Phillies credit for fixing their bullpen because he breaks it down as best case and worst case scenario. And then the worst case scenario is if they didn't do enough to fix the bullpen and if Andrew McCutchen struggles returning from injury. So those are his best and worst case scenarios there.
I mean, I get that, but I just don't think that gives you an aura of unpredictability. You know,
I the Braves or the Mets would, especially with what's going on with the Mets, and it seems like they're in on everybody who's available. I think right now they would be a little unpredictable, but hey, I didn't write. So, we jump into the NL Central, and this is actually an easy one because it's going to depend on what they do. The Cincinnati Reds, Dan, where are you buying the Reds right now?
Yeah, I think I'd have to agree. I think the Reds are unpredictable. I mean, I like the fact that he doesn't go out on a limb and, you know, they're going to go 30 games above 500 or 30 games in first in front, 30 games in front of first place. But I don't know. I still think they've got some solid talent on that team. But at the same time, it doesn't ever seem to all come together at the same time as it did in what could have been a stellar 2012 season.
Yeah, well, you know, I think what you mentioned, having the talent is what makes them unpredictable because, you know, if they trade that talent, like they've been rumored to move Luis Castillo and Sonny Gray, who are 1 and 2 in their rotation, and then there's talk that they're taking offers on Eugenio Suarez. So, you know, if you keep those guys, they could contend in the Central because the Central's terrible. But if they trade those guys, they're going to fourth place. So that's unpredictable. Well, we wrap it up, obviously, with the NL West. And, Dan, the unpredictable team out there is the San Francisco Giants. Now, you and I both share some love for the Giants. We have a rooting interest in them. Obviously, they're not going to win this division because they're not going to beat the Padres or the Dodgers, but you buy them as unpredictable. I mean, they have some definitely strange pieces that could be that way. So what do you got here?
For me, I personally, this would have possibly been a skip or two. I don't know. Because I'm actually leaning more towards the Padres being a little bit more unpredictable. But, you know, and I think everyone's a little too excited about the 2020 Padres. it was like a sneak peek. So we haven't seen a full season of this team. So I think they might be just a slightly, but it's so hard because these teams, they're both, I think, could be both be very unpredictable. I don't know what the worst and best case scenarios are, but, I think one of the things that makes them unpredictable is definitely the Buster Posey. Not having played last year, there's pluses and minuses. I think for a person in his point of his career, I think this was a good thing. So I think he's really going to benefit from not having played last year. Hands down, I think he's – but, of course, this also depends on what he did while he was at home. You know, if he's done what I've done since last March, then it would not be a good thing.
I think we're similar to you. He had a baby.
Yeah. Well, we didn't have one yet, but – well, I just meant the whole not working out or, I'm assuming he has 100 times better – yeah, no, I haven't. Yeah, we went for some walks. It was nice out.
He has the personal trainer that you don't, is what I'm guessing.
Yeah. I think he's a big factor in the unpredictability, and then, of course, I think the whole team is. I don't even know who's on this team anymore, besides the Brandons.
What I'm thinking here, Dan, is how different could this team look? We've got Johnny Cueto, Kevin Gausman, Buster Posey, Brandon Belt, and Brandon Crawford all in the final year of their deals. Now, Cueto and Posey do have club options for next year, but at $22 million apiece, I don't know if the Giants will pick either of those up. So, I mean, just imagine how different this team could look come 2022.
I think they could look very different. Obviously, I think many of us would hope that Posey's going back, but sometimes it's time to move on, right?
Yeah, unfortunately, and you do got to wonder, if Buster would even want to still continue playing if they didn't pick up his option.
Yeah.
So, that's always one of those things you have to factor in. I mean, we're looking at a guy he's going to turn 34 here really soon. Obviously he's caught a lot of games. I do wonder if maybe they could bring him back and move him to first base because the Belt would be gone as well. So it would be an open position. They've only talked about moving him to first base for how many years now? So maybe they could finally do it, like a final run or something.
I think that would, for me, I would like to see that happen, but I don't run the team.
you've got to kind of wonder if, they have a hell of a pipeline coming through or they've built, their minors in a certain way that they're going to be able to, just flip the switch, or else we're looking at another 100 loss team there in the NL West, aren't we?
Yeah.
So, and then, of course, the question becomes, do they end up moving any of those guys, being in the last year of their deal? Does a contender come knocking for a guy like Paul? So we'll have to kind of wait and see how that plays out. But, who knows? And remember, we're here at 5 o'clock. And I'll tell you what, BoostMobile.com, but I don't really shut up at all the night yesterday. The link to the location to do the Facebook page, so swing on down and check that out. Okay, you might as well like it, right? Don't forget to put it in with the app for the time of the video. Get on the mail line, get on the link to the office here with that. And then if you manage to come back to the group live, we'll come to the group and ask you all your friends. Remember, we're going to see a phone over the screen.
For some radio.